On page 43 in the New Testament section of the Church Bible, the Holy Gospel is written in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, beginning at the 31st verse. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed, and he said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Immediately, his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. This is the Gospel of Christ. Gracious Lord, take this word, the word for us today. Make it meaningful, helpful, and directive to our lives through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Sometimes it's important to know where Jesus was when he did something. He just had an exchange of views with the Pharisees. They were criticizing him because his disciples didn't follow the strict rules of cleanness. They picked on the fact that the disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. It would have been a cardinal sin in my mother's view too, but there you are. Have you washed your hands before you came to the table? It was one of the rules of cleanliness, because touch is a defiling thing, and you'd leave nasty fingerprints on your food and defile it. And Jesus said, no, defilement is not like that. It's not the outward, it's the inward. It's not what comes out from a man, but what goes in. It's what happens in the heart. And he had this controversy about cleanness. And then, as though to illustrate vividly, if they were watching him, which they were, to illustrate vividly that he meant what he said, he leapt over the wall, so to speak, into the uncleanness of Gentile territory. Out from the so-called clean enclave, where the people of God were, into the unclean enclave of the outside world. And there he met a woman, a Syrophoenician woman. You don't get much more Gentile than that. And he exorcised her daughter and banished a demon. And then he met this man who had a hearing difficulty and therefore a speech impediment. It's a very accurate piece of diagnosis there. There was something wrong with his ears, and therefore he couldn't speak properly. And Jesus healed him. And he's still out in the unclean world. He's still out among the Gentiles. And then what do you think he did? It's all here in sequence in Mark's Gospel. The Syrophoenician woman, the man with the speech impediment and the hearing impediment. And then next, why, next he spreads his banquet for a Gentile company. He'd already spread a banquet for a company within the people of God. We call that one the feeding of the 5,000. But now, out in Gentile country, the feeding of the 4,000, the same banquet, Jesus breaking the bread and sharing it out, the bread of the Messiah, the messianic feast for the unclean world. He leaps over the wall and he hears prayer. That's the Syrophoenician woman. In Matthew's Gospel, as he tells the story of this Gentile woman, he emphasizes the fact that Jesus is the son of David. But that's not Mark's emphasis. Mark's emphasis is just on the fact that she cried out to him and Jesus heard. And he's out in the world. He's out beyond the barrier. He's out in the unclean world and he hears prayer. And he meets need. A deaf man with an impediment, he meets needs. And he feeds hunger. No one is beyond the pale, do you see? That's what Jesus is saying. Humankind may erect barriers, but they're not there for God. Humankind may put up fences and say you're either in or you're out. But Jesus is out and about amongst the unclean and the unworthy, hearing prayer, meeting needs, feeding hunger. And that's us. We're the Gentiles. We're those who had no prior claim. We're those on the other side of the fence. We're those out in the unclean world. And Jesus comes out to us to hear our prayer, to meet our needs, to feed our hunger. Now, isn't it worth being here this morning? Just to carry that thought away with you. No one's beyond the pale. There's no way in which we can say it's for somebody else and not for me. It's for me too. He hears my prayer. He meets my needs. He feeds my hunger. He hears your prayer. He meets your needs. He feeds your hunger. He's the Messiah for the world, the Son of David. And then we have this super little story about the man with the hearing difficulty and the speech impediment. What a gorgeous story. Here it is again. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech. They begged him to lay a hand on him. Now listen. He took him aside in private. He put his fingers in his ears. He spat. He touched his tongue. He looked up to heaven. He sighed. He said, "Be opened." Can't you see it? There's an unusual emphasis on the way Jesus did it. Usually with the wonders of Jesus, he just did it and that's it. Like in the next story about feeding, he just took the bread and broke it and there it was. We're not told any details or mechanisms, but here it's all mechanism, isn't it? We're told, in fact, seven things. One, I'm always fearful about this. I'm sure I'll get the number wrong, but there are actually seven, so let's hope for the best. One, he took him aside in private. Two, he put his fingers in his ears. Three, he spat. Four, he touched his tongue. Five, he looked up to heaven. Six, he sighed. Seven, he said, be opened. Seven distinct actions in relation to this poor afflicted man that Jesus was helping. You can see it happening there, can't you? First of all, he starts by establishing a you and me relationship. He's not going to open those ears with all this crowd milling around. They tell me if you go to the doctor and have your ears washed out, when you come out you can hear the grass growing. Is that right? Can you imagine when Jesus gives this man perfect hearing who has not been able to hear? Imagine what the impact would be if there's a crowd milling around. He takes them aside. This is just you and me. Come with me. He took them aside privately. He put his fingers in his ears. You see, he can't talk to the man. The chap's stone deaf. So he said, this is what I'm going to do. A little bit of visual aid. Your ears. I'm going to deal with your ears. He put his fingers in his ears. Your healing is coming from me. And again, it's visual aid. He moistens his finger with saliva and touches the man's tongue. This healing is coming from me to you. Right? He looked up to heaven. It's God who's going to do this for you. Let's get the Heavenly Father into it. It's His power that's going to be at work. And then, Ephatha. I wonder, could the man lip read? Did he know what the word was? It's one of those occasions when we hear the actual word that Jesus said. Like Talitha Kumi, when he was raising the little girl from the dead. One of the two occasions when we hear his actual words spoken, Ephatha, be opened. Now, if you are counting, you'll realize I've left one of the seven out. And in its way, it's the most amazing one of the seven. Here is a man who has not yet received his hearing. He can watch signs, he can't hear voices. So, I'm going to deal with your ears. He puts his finger in his ears. Your healing is coming from me, saliva and touch. The Heavenly Father is going to do it. Let's look up together. And the chap is still stone deaf. And Jesus groaned. If you were there, you could have heard it. If I was there, I could have heard it. A stone deaf man didn't hear it. Why did he groan? You see, when Jesus comes into our needs, He doesn't come in as a professional with professional detachment. He comes in order to identify, so to take our needs upon himself that he feels them. And he weighs the burden of them in his own spirit. So just like he who was about to raise the dead wept because Lazarus was dead, so he feels the burden of this man's affliction. He suddenly feels it on his own heart, and he groans with the weight of that burden of deafness and impediment. Now, isn't that wonderful? Nothing detached, nothing remote. the me and you relationship is a real one, in which he not only comes to us, but comes into our experience and reality. In every pang that rends the heart, the man of sorrows bears a part. Or as another version of that hymn, which I suppose was cut out for severe Protestant reasons, in every pang that rends the heart, the Son of Mary bears a part. And I like that. Jesus in his humanity identifies with us in our humanity. He bears upon himself the afflictions that he's about to deal with. He was, says Hebrews 4, he was in all points tempted and tested like as we are, while remaining without sin. Now there's a picture for you. It's a revelation of who Jesus is. I discovered an interesting little thing in the wording that's used here. Come and learn a little bit of Greek with me. A man with an impediment in his speech is called a mogilalos. Just say that to yourself. It's a lovely word. You feel if it wasn't a word, it ought to be. Mogilalos. And in the whole of the Bible, it's only used in one other place. It's used in the Greek translation of Isaiah 35. Then shall the eyes of the blind be opened. Do you want to sing it with me? Then shall the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart and the tongue of the dumb shall sing, the mogilalos. When the Son of David comes, the mogilalos will speak. Only in those two places in the Bible. And Jesus identifies himself as the royal Messiah come down to meet needs. And he's still the same. There's one other piece of emphasis in this story that's worth sharing with you. And that is the emphasis that's laid on privacy. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd. See, any of those three things would have been enough. He took him aside. He took him in private. He took him away from the crowd. But all three, what an emphasis. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd. That's our privilege every day, to be in private, aside, away from the crowd with Jesus. And that's where he performs his wonders, in that quiet, secret, private place where he allows you and me as individuals, in that lovely old English word, to tarry with him. Sometimes a word is full of feeling, isn't it? To tarry with him. Not just to be, but to tarry. Will you pray with me? Lord, how good and marvelous is your holy word to record such a simple matter, and yet a matter that is so full and important for us. We do thank you, Lord, that your presence is the constant reality, and that you give us the privilege of entering into that presence, of being in a one-to-one relationship with yourself. Oh Lord, teach us, we pray, how to come aside from the crowd, how to be in private, how to tarry with the Lord.